It's announcement corner. Before we get to the episode, I wanted to tell everybody that I'm going to be at a podcast festival in Portland, Oregon on February 16th. It's called Listen Up Portland. If you want to go to listenupportland.com, you can buy tickets there. At my show, which is going to be at 2 p.m. on the 16th, there will be prizes. There will be snacks. There will be an awesome guest. And I think that I have a couple deeply discounted tickets to give away. So if you would like to win those, please give me a follow on Instagram at smartmouthpodcast and comment on whatever is the most recent picture there and say that you'd like to enter the raffle to win some discounted tickets. All right, everybody, enjoy the episode. Everybody, welcome back to Smart Mouth. This week, our guest is Gabby Dunn. Hi, Gabby.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
I appreciate it.
I know you're in the midst of a total blitz right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'm in a book tour. I'm doing a book tour. So I was traveling and I am traveling, but I'm back in LA where we live.
Yes.
For like the next 5 days, basically.
And do you have to do podcast after podcast?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. A lot of podcasting. Do you know LA? Huge into podcasts.
We love it. I don't know if we listen to them, but we certainly make them.
I listen to so many.
I do too.
I know. But I think people are confused about that because they're like, but you make podcasts. Why would you listen? I'm like, what do you mean?
Actors watch TV?
Yeah. I love to listen to a pod.
Yeah. What are your favorites? Some favorites.
Okay. You must remember this.
Yeah.
Kills me every time. Yeah. Wow. Incredible. Does Karina Longworth want to marry me? Probably not, but I got to put it out there. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I like a lot of true crime stuff. So I like My Favorite Murder. I like Real Crime Profile. I like any of the like limited series crime shit, like Heaven's Gate or Cults or I can't remember the name of it, but it's about women who kill. Like anytime it's like here's this limited series like Teacher's Pet. You know, that one, like, oh, this weird crime that you've never heard of. I'm like, give me all of it. Tell me everything that happened. I'll solve it right now.
Yeah, I don't have cable right now, but there was a problematic period in my life where I was watching Snapped constantly.
Yes.
It's so good.
You can just do Forensic Files.
Is it the same idea?
It scratches a similar itch.
Right. But I think what I liked about Snapped is the same thing that My Favorite Murder does, where it's like, it's different because it's usually the women who murdered, but it's like, and here's why it was totally justified.
Yes. I feel that. Yeah, it's
really
a lot of that,
that
stuff. It's funny because I was just thinking, I was looking at all your cooking books and it's like for TV, for podcast, it's all crime. And then for TV, it's like Chef's Table. It's like all cooking stuff. But I don't think I would ever, like, I don't know why. It's divided as such.
That's interesting.
Cooking, visual, crime, audio.
Yeah, that is, totally. That makes a lot of sense. That's why Smart Mouth should be a TV show.
Yes.
Anyone wants
and,
to do that.
I'm here to help pitch it, right?
Yes, please do. And tell everyone while you're
I will.
Because you're going to Seattle next.
I'm going to Boston.
Oh, Boston.
And then Seattle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know when this comes out, but Boston will be end of January. And then Seattle is February 11th and 12th.
That's when I'll be in Portland. Oh, yeah. And I'm supposed to shill the thing that I'm doing in Portland. I'm going to be part of the Listen Up Festival. Everybody doing a live podcast on Saturday, February 16th. I believe at a bar.
Perfect.
At 2 p.m. So we'll see what kind of crowd that draws.
Yeah, the right crowd.
Yeah, exactly. No, it'll be fun. And I'm pretty sure we're giving you food. So everyone go to Eventbrite and look up Listen Up Portland and buy your tickets.
Nice.
Yeah.
Smooth segue into promotion.
Right? Doesn't it work well that way? So your podcast is called Bad With Money.
Yes, it's about money.
And your book is called Bad With Money.
Yes.
That's really good to keep on brand, right?
Yes.
This is what I've heard.
You had to name everything the same.
Mm-hmm.
But Bad With Money, I really like that we chose that title because I feel like it helps differentiate it from aspirational financial advice versus relatable financial advice.
Love that. Yes.
So like the whole point of the show is basically like, I'm not a guru. I'm not an expert. I don't have all the ideas. I'm not perfect. Here's all my mistakes that I still keep making. Mm-hmm. Here's what I've learned from them. So I like, you know, I'm not speaking to you from my yacht.
Right.
I'm speaking to you from like, and somehow I'm in credit card debt again, guys. Don't know how that happened. I do know how it happened, but, and so it's been interesting to be on tour with this book and have some people bring me on understanding that that's the case. Mm-hmm. And then to have some people bring me on to be like, but you're a financial guru. So let's talk about the FIRE movement and let's talk about like S corps versus LLCs. And I'm like, oh, buddy, you picked the wrong.
Oh, no.
Like, I've looked into that stuff, but I'm not going to sit there like another financial guru and be like, you have to do this or you're an idiot.
Right.
It's just like not my jam. So.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, the show and the book have been getting a lot of positive responses because I think it is less, it's very social justice based and it's way less like, hey, you're a fucking idiot. Yeah. And I'm smart and here's what you should do.
I think people are starting to like that. I think it's part of the millennial and younger mindset. We're more into sharing.
Yeah, and less shaming, you
yes,
know?
Yes, yes, definitely. So which I can understand good. Why that would make sense. What day does the book come out? Or no, it already
the book's
came out.
The book yes. came out January 1st. It's out already. You can get it.
New year, new book.
New year, new book. and then the podcast season 4 will be coming out sometime in early 2019, like February or March. But yeah, so we had, but you can already go back and listen to the backlog, which is like seasons 1 through 3,
yeah.
which are available wherever. I mean, you found this podcast. Surely you can find Bad With Money.
They're up to the task.
Right.
I believe in them. I love that your favorite food is pickles because I actually feel like that's a really fiscally responsible snack.
Is it? I feel yes. like it's controversial. People are like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sometimes people do have really strong pickle opinions.
I know. And I love a savory. Mm-hmm. I love anything that could be on a charcuterie plate.
Okay.
Like I love all kinds of pickles. My girlfriend was making fun of me because she said when I grocery shop, I end up like my apartment looks like a Jewish deli. Like I've just bought tuna fish and cheese and bagels and pickles and like,
I feel
know?
Like that's such a good way to eat though.
That's just like how I grew up. Mm-hmm. So that's just what I think of as food. I'm like, you got to get lunch foods. You got to get lunch meats. You got to get, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why, but so yeah, I mean, they've been like huge in my house. My dad used to drink pickle juice straight from the jar.
Okay.
I'm just like big pickle family.
So the thing with pickle juice is I'm seeing a lot of like sports nutritionists recommend it and athletes say they recover quickly after they drink pickle juice. I was thinking about it and I think what you're talking about these athletes is the brine.
Is that so?
Which basically means salty water, which basically means the exact same thing as Gatorade.
Oh, interesting. Well, I had a real rude awakening because my dad's an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my dad drinks pickle juice. What a quirky thing that he does. And then someone was like, pickle juice is actually used to mask the scent of whiskey. And I went, you know what? That checks out. Yep. That seems exactly right. So I think like he's sober now, but he was like, oh, yeah, I drank pickle juice all the time so I could drive. And I was like, tight.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know what I mean? Like that's
yes,
the thing.
Because yes.
they can't smell it on you.
Right. Right. Well, he was also replenishing his electrolytes without even knowing it.
Alcoholics, there's a 2-for-1 there, you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. See, pickles, so great. End of episode.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, they are a struggle food because basically anything that was invented to preserve something for a longer amount of time is accessible and for all the people. But I feel like because they're so delicious and you can pickle so many different things.
Oh, and you can pickle it different ways.
Yes.
Best day of my life. I was at the racetrack and I had, hello, how did Gabby grow up? Trailer trash. I was at the racetrack and this guy had infused like horseradish into pickles.
Okay.
So it was like horseradish pickles on a stick.
Oh.
Oh my God. It was the best thing I've ever eaten in my life.
Have you ever recreated that?
No, I don't know. I tried to, I think you can order them online.
Yeah, probably.
And I tried to do that for a while. But no, I've never made it. I've never pickled anything myself, which seems wrong. I should probably do that.
Well, I think it's fairly time intensive, but I was trying to figure out what you cannot pickle. And
oh.
I was like, surely like bananas are too soft. And I still don't know if they are, but people are pickling avocados now.
What?
And those are pretty soft.
What do they taste like?
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
I'm sort of into it, but as a thing, maybe that you would put on a sandwich.
I think so. I think these are all like condiments now, except for pickled eggplant. That actually sounds pretty good.
I've never heard of this, and I like eggplant a lot too.
Yeah, and then pickling fruit to me sounds really good. I think because it's the sweet sour thing.
What kind of fruit?
Blueberries.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because it's already a little bit acidic.
Yeah, and then maybe pickling pineapple. I really like Southeast Asian food. Yes. So I think, yes.
Very into that idea.
And the thing that sounds so, so good, and I've never had it, is pickled peaches.
Mm. Wow, I'm so behind on my pickling. Where can I go to get, is there like a place that's just like, or do you just have to order online from like pickle specialties? Because I don't live in Brooklyn.
Right, exactly. Probably like a lot of ordering online, but then the fancy grocery stores.
Yeah, the fancy LA grocery stores.
Yeah, the fancier, the more pickles they have, I would assume.
I haven't been looking into the pickling situation other than I just buy pickles every time. Like I just will go.
Do you have a favorite brand?
I like a kosher dill. Like I like a crunchy pickle.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely more than a soft pickle. And I'll eat them. I mean, yesterday I like made a bagel for myself and then just like two pickles.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I don't know why it feels like a meal. Like it feels filling. Like, oh, if I ate a pickle, then I've had lunch. Weirdly.
Okay.
And I don't really know why.
Yeah.
I assume they're not good for you, but you might have more information on
they're
this.
Not bad for you.
They're not?
I mean, some of the brands like add sugar into the flavoring. So if you're trying not to eat a lot of sugar, there's that. But they're never really bad for you.
Oh, okay. I just assume that like, oh, it's salty and it tastes good, so it must be slowly killing me.
Oh, okay. So this is where like my own bias like got in the way of me saying that they're not bad for you. If you're trying to do low salt, definitely don't eat pickles.
I don't know. I'm not trying to do low salt. I'm just trying to like live in LA and have a trainer and like be, you know, like moderately acceptable.
Have you asked your trainer about your pickle consumption?
No, I did ask him if because he gave me like a food plan or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, because I just not for weight loss, for sluggishness, basically.
Okay.
And then he because I'm just like dragging my feet around the city. And then he was like, well, so I said, is Diet Coke bad for you?
OK.
And he was like, well, it's zero calories. Like, it's not going to like you can drink Diet Coke. And I was like, don't give me the go ahead on that because I will. It's over. Like now it's just Diet Coke chugging all day.
I feel like Diet Coke is the most addictive substance on earth.
So addictive.
Yes.
Literally, I had a tweet a long time ago where I gave up Diet Coke for a year. And I had a tweet that was like, I gave up Diet Coke for a year and I think about it every day. I cannot remember the names of a lot of my exes. Like, I like love it so much. But so like so that's very, to me, that's like a lunch. A lunch is like a tuna fish bagel, a Diet Coke, couple of pickles.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that just me? I forgot to mention I invented Cantor's Deli.
You? Yeah, right.
I forgot to mention that I have a large stake in Cantor's Delicatessen.
Figured it out. I mean, that's the thing is that if it's like, except for the Diet Coke, all the food you're eating is like old foods. And there's
yeah, so is there's, that good?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. If it's something that people have been eating for a long time.
Yeah.
Then you got to figure like, just, I mean, again, like processed pickles probably have, they might have some sugar in them or whatever, but you're eating like normal things.
Yeah.
Normal old things. There's that Michael Pollan statement that a lot of people chose to misinterpret, but he said only eat things that your grandmother would interpret as food or like no, it was food.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of people decided to get angry and outrage mob him and be like, so you're saying that I can only eat like the food from wherever their ancestors are? And it's like, no, he's saying don't eat like microwavable meals.
Right. Yeah. Just knowing what the ingredients are.
Yeah.
And pickles are just comforting. They're just so comforting to me. I don't know why. I love a horseradish. So like that horseradish pickle was just, getting really therapizing, but it's like, I grew up Jewish. Like the home is very, that like horseradish pickles, like that's all like Jewish home staples.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I'm just like, I like gefilte fish. Like no one likes gefilte fish, you know what I mean? But I'm like, it brings back memories and stuff. So I'm just like, yeah. This is where I'm at emotionally. Like I need to just spoon like horseradish and pickles and bagels into my mouth to like be like, I'm safe.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think that's totally normal.
Thank you.
And when we say pickles so far, we're only talking about cucumber pickles. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which is, there's a reason like in the Western world that we mostly talk about that. But it's also why a lot of the world thinks of cucumbers first when they think of pickling. Because cucumbers are native to India.
Okay.
And India is one of the ancient homes of pickling. Like 4,000 years ago.
Oh, interesting.
Them and Mesopotamia really kicked it off.
So how did it become that cucumbers were the main thing that we think of?
I think just because they were grown in the areas where the first people figured out how to pickle.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, we can preserve this overabundance of cucumbers that we have in right. this manner. So for a lot of people, as it spread around the world, it was like, oh, they do this with cucumbers.
And then when did Jews go, this is great. We love it.
It started in the like Southeastern Europe areas.
Got it.
Where
that makes sense.
They had a short pickle growing season and then long cold winters.
Mm, so you got to pickle it.
Yeah, you got to pickle it to save it.
Yeah. I used to, the only other thing that we had in my house that we would eat pickled that we loved were pickled tomatoes.
Ooh.
Like green tomatoes, yeah. And then you pickle them.
Yeah.
And we would eat those all the time. And I love those. But a lot of people don't know what I'm talking about. You know those green tomatoes?
I know what you're talking about. And yeah. I know that Florida isn't, you grew up in Florida, right?
Grew up in Florida.
Yeah. So it's the South, but it's not considered culturally the South, but it's more Southern than like where I grew up.
Yeah.
And I feel like eating pickled tomatoes was a real combo of like your Southern Jewishness.
Yeah. I like a lot of stuff like that. Like I like stuff that has that sort of salty or I don't know. Like it's like
tangy.
Or like when we were at Tawny Newsom's New Year's Day party. Uh-huh. And the like okra that's made there and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I like that kind of, I don't know, like savory type of thing.
Yeah.
More than like a sweet thing.
Well, it really peps up your food.
Yeah.
It adds a counterbalance.
I guess so. Yeah. And so people were like, how? So this must have been an innovation because they were like, oh my God, all of our food is dying. How do we make sure our food stays for longer? Mm-hmm. How did they think of pickling? Do you know?
No, because it's so ancient that it hasn't been written down anywhere that like the first person thought of it.
Yeah. You know? Like how do you go? And I hope this tastes good at the end of this process, you know?
I feel like early humans were just doing a lot of experimenting and so many of them must have died of food poisoning.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Because like we only hear about the ones that worked out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you, first person, to pickle things. You've yeah. made my life infinitely better.
They did. They really did. And there's two types of pickling. There's the kind that involves fermentation.
Okay. And say more about that.
So that's when there's a brine.
Got it.
And it has to be sealed. And then there's just putting stuff in vinegar for a while.
Ah, yes.
And that's something that a lot of the cool kids right now are calling quick pickles.
Yeah, and you get that like at restaurants, they'll be like, you know, they'll give you a little side of veggies that are very clearly soaked in vinegar.
Yes, yeah, and that's
I'm not against it. Some people are like, oh, no.
Oh, I like it, yeah.
I like it, but some people are like, that I've been out with have been like, oh, you yeah. know, it's a lot.
I guess, but it's so good, even if they don't ferment it. So what's kind of funny about pickling as opposed to some other types of fermentation is that like not everything has to be clean. Because the bacteria in the vinegar will kill most of the bad
stuff. So it's honestly the safest way to eat anything.
Yeah. Just dunk it in some vinegar and you're good to go.
I would love it. I love salt and vinegar chips. I love any, I really am like a, that sort of
yes.
strong flavor
right.
thing is
yes.
good for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. If you're actually fermenting it, that means you're sealing it up in a salt brine. And that's like kimchi.
Mm-hmm.
Where you
I love kimchi.
Put it away for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then also a lot of the things that are added to Western pickles, like garlic and cinnamon
yes.
and cloves, those all are antimicrobial as well.
So also clean, pretty clean.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I love a garlic pickle too, when they ferment them with garlic.
I love that you are not afraid of flavors.
No. I like garlic. I like horseradish. I like vinegar. I like any kind of strong. I mean, look, no. Does anyone want to make out with me? No, of course not. Absolutely not. But yeah, I love.
But I mean, you've got happiness with your pickles.
Yeah. So. And I don't even know like what the I'm not sure. Even like the coffee that I drink, I've been told is very strong. Like I like sort of give me like an acidic sort of thing.
What kind of foods do you not like?
Well, I hate coconut. That's my number one enemy. Okay. I find it bland. I think it looks and tastes like wax paper.
Okay.
I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I think I just don't like. I never really. I used to really not like nuts, like peanuts or walnuts or anything like that, just because I felt like it didn't. Things that are more texture than taste, I'm like, get away from me.
Okay.
I didn't like that. That it was like. I just didn't. I was like, okay, we're crunching on this thing for so long that tastes like nothing.
Interesting.
I was not into, even though peanuts are salty, but I would often like lick the salt off them and then spit them out. Which, so like sunflower seeds, essentially.
Yeah.
But I never, I mean, I like a lot of foods, but, and so I am definitely, like I'm trying to be more vegetarian now, mm-hmm. but that's not necessarily because I don't like those foods. I just, I'm sort of trying to not eat as much meat, not consume as much meat. But I love seafood because, again, like salty.
Yeah.
Like I love an oyster. I love a clam. I love a shrimp, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sort of trying to figure out how that fits in with trying not to eat animals. Although, does that count? Like if I eat an oyster.
I know.
That's not the same to me morally as eating a pig or a cow.
I tend to agree with you and it could turn out that we're all wrong about this.
Yeah, for sure. That oysters are just brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We don't know because we know so much more than we knew 100 years ago. And I'm sure we've also lost knowledge about things too. So who can say? But I feel like that's a good choice. Given all the information that we know.
We have, yeah.
Trying to just eat bivalves and whatnot, mm-hmm. bottom feeders. But then, of course, you get into the problem of the fact that a lot of fishing boats have slaves on them.
Yes, so, like, I know.
The thing with eating is the more you know about it, the less things are okay to eat because everything's a fucking horror show.
Oh, we did an episode of Bad with Money that was about the food system.
Yeah.
And like the way that, you know, it's spread out so that like rich people get a certain type of food and poor people get a certain type of food. And this woman, oh man, I don't remember her name, but she just did a really amazing thread on Twitter about the ugly produce.
Oh, I think that's Sarah Tabor.
It is.
Yes. She's amazing.
Yeah. And it was like, you guys just think that you don't get ugly produce, but ugly produce is going to grocery stores in cities you would never go to.
Yeah.
In parts of town you would never go to. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like a, oh, shit. Like,
every thread of hers, and this is such a rare thing to say about Twitter, every thread of hers I learned something from.
Oh, I was, like, riveted.
Yeah. She talks about, like, the wonkiest, nerdiest agricultural policy stuff in a way that's really interesting, I find.
Me too. No, me too. Because I realize that because I care about money, but I've realized that money ties into everything. So, like, you know, you can't talk about food without talking about money.
Yeah. And
like
that
even you said you were like, oh, the you can go to the artisan grocery store and get this. And it's like, right, I like pickled stuff, but is that because I've had access to pickled stuff?
Yeah. Well, but then that's one of those things that goes both ways, like, or it's circular or something. Artisan pickles that you can buy for like $10-$15 mm-hmm. a jar exist. But again, pickles started as struggle food.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, but then there's time issues mm-hmm. as well. Like, because now in popular media, knowing home skills, like having domestic skills, is seen as like a fancy person thing.
Yeah. So you have the time to pickle your own stuff,
exactly.
Brew your own beer, make your own kimchi. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because our culture has gotten so screwed up.
Yeah.
What a mess we are.
I know. I know. But also it's just funny that you just end up sort of going back to what you like ate as a kid, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people, you don't even notice that's what you're doing. Like friends of mine that are like, I don't like sushi. I'm like, oh, you just didn't grow up like with your parents.
Yes.
Being like, we're getting tuna rolls tonight or whatever.
My college boyfriend had Indian food and sushi for the first time with me.
Yeah. Like, it's just like if whatever your family brought you to eat is what you assume is what people are eating.
Totally. And then his sister came to visit and was really, I wouldn't say she exactly made fun of him, but she clearly was very uncomfortable with the fact that he could like comfortably go to sushi restaurants now.
But is that, but it's also like you think of sushi as being a fancy food. Mm-hmm. But then I think my family didn't have money, so I feel like they were just doing like a bunch of cucumber roll and tuna roll orders. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it was almost like a easy, not, I mean, I think somewhat cheap situation.
Totally. I mean, especially if you're just eating like those rolls.
Yeah.
The tuna is the most expensive thing, but they put so little in
right.
the rolls.
Right. And it's mostly like rice. And yeah, it was like a lot of that.
Yeah.
So I remember it as like sort of an easy order in situation.
Totally. Totally.
And then, but then like when I actually like was like somewhere and it was like ordering sushi and then it became these things of like Philadelphia roll, rainbow roll, like more extensive rolls. I was like, I don't know what this is. What? No. Where's the, you just put cucumber and some rice and then that's the end of it.
And see, you didn't even know that you were eating like the more traditional version.
No,
of
no.
Japanese food.
No.
It's just accidental.
Yeah. No, not at all. It's just like parental laziness.
Which works out in our favor sometimes.
I know.
Sometimes. You never
know.
Wait,
so what else about the history of pickling?
So the reason that we call them pickles is because the Dutch word for a brine of any sort is pekel.
Yep. And they were like, we got to change that. We can't have that.
And the reason this knocked my socks off, the reason why we associate like New York pickle stuff, mm-hmm. it predates Jews being there.
What?
Yeah. It's so, okay, here's kind of my theory about this. The era of exploration. I think a lot of the British explorers were like, let's find land and bring some slaves over and make them make agricultural products. And
okay.
I know.
Okay.
The Dutch people, listen, all the Europeans were evil in this era, but I feel like Dutch people were more into like finding items that they could take back and sell.
Okay.
And so when Dutch people showed up in New York, because, mm-hmm. you know, when the first Europeans were the Dutch people and New York was its second name after New Amsterdam, mm-hmm, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. They planted a bunch of pickles and were like, well, cucumbers.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Future pickles, yeah, as future I like pickles. To call cucumbers. Future pickles.
And then they were just like, sell them, jar them, sell them. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's make pickles our number one industry. And they were actually mostly on Brooklyn.
Oh, got it.
Yes. So then when the Jews moved in and they were like, we like pickles too. And it was like, great, we can continue this. Cross-cultural pickling.
Yeah, we all get along.
Yeah. And it started in like the 1600s around New York. And it would totally be like a, well, which pickles do you like best? Who puts in the seasonings that you like? Which ones come up with the bacteria? Because bacteria changes flavors. So you're like, well, I like the batch these guys have gone. Yeah.
Oh, man, I love it.
Yeah. And you mentioned dill pickles.
Yeah.
So dill is considered a pretty important pickling herb.
Oh, yes. Big time.
So it's from Indonesia.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. And we know that ancient Greeks and Romans used it, but then like it went away in Europe and then came back on a boat around like the year 900.
From Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
God, dill is so good. If you haven't tried dill, let me pitch it to you. It's great. Is that thing that you're making, it's okay, but it could be better? Try dill. I used to, oh my God, have you ever heard of pickle chips?
Tell me more.
It's like potato chips, but pickle flavored.
So it's pickle flavored potato chips.
Yes,
right, okay.
Not pickle chips, like
right.
Whatever. But like, yep, pickle flavored potato chips. And we used to get them when I was a kid and I was obsessed with them. And then I don't know what happened. And then I was working at like a media company that had a wide reach. And I had like, a fan base. And I said something like, I miss pickled potato chips. And then all these Canadians were like, actually, we still have them.
Amazing.
Here. And I was like, what? And so then they sent me, all these Canadians started sending me them in the mail. So there was like a period of time where I had just tons of bags. It was the best day of my life.
Yeah.
Tons of bags of pickle flavored potato chips because they had mailed them to me from Canada.
That is
because
so kind.
It was very sweet.
Yeah.
And they were, and then, but I have a hard time. I've seen them one time in Highland Park. And I got them at like a sandwich shop, but I haven't seen them like mass, like out and about as the way they were when I was a kid.
Yeah. Weirdly, I feel like the United States really lags in potato chip flavors. You'd think we'd be all over it.
Canada's
we love junk
got,
food.
Canada's got like pickled potato chips, and then they have ketchup flavored yep. potato chips, which is exactly what it sounds like, but also tastes great.
Yeah, I know.
And like they, so the, I just love barbecue accoutrement flavored yeah. potato chips.
So they have I've been seeing everything flavored potato chips.
What's that?
It's basically like they just put all the like chemicals on one bag of chips. Like, so you know how like the potato chip flavor is mostly liquid smoke.
Got it.
And so that ends up being like the most dominant flavor in the everything chips. But they basically put all the powders and liquids in the same batch of chips, so you get everything. So you're supposed to get like barbecue, Hawaiian, jalapeno, pickle, ketchup.
But all mixed up together.
Yeah, and the same. It's like an everything bagel, but with yeah, stronger flavors.
Yeah, okay. I just really, if you're listening to this and you're Canadian, if you could just quick send me a bag of pickle.
Just real quick.
Potato chips, that would be amazing.
It would be. Does the top of your mouth get torn up fairly easily?
Mm-hmm.
Because you just can't quit with these acidic foods.
Right. Yes.
Got it.
It's not, I get the burps all the time. If you really want to get into it, I have like, I'm definitely not supposed to be, like I have, it's acid reflux nightmare.
Yeah.
Like I definitely have like problems.
Aww.
Like it's not, I had to, the one thing I cut out was I try not to eat tomatoes because that really did it bad.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I can have these pickles, but no tomato sauce, basically.
That sucks.
Yeah. You know, it's a price I'm willing to pay.
Yeah.
I saw, this reminded me of it because I saw this funny meme that was like, celiac person, oh no, I can't have gluten, I'll die. Like vegan person, oh no, like I really can't eat meat, like at this point I'll throw up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it's like lactose intolerant person chugging milk, everything's gonna be fine, guys. I was like, that's me. Worth it.
Yeah, it's all about the choices, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Cleopatra credited her legendary beauty to her pickle heavy diet.
Really? Mm-hmm. What, say more about that.
She basically, well, it was also her health. So I think it was like, it keeps me in shape, like it keeps things running. And that's why my skin looks so good and like my hair is so lustrous.
What, is there any science to back that up?
Probably just the year-round eating of vegetables. The British Navy struggled with scurvy for a long time.
As you would, yes. If you're a Navy.
Yes. And one of the things that one of the Royal Navy doctors, he happened upon it and he was right. But for the wrong reasons. He was like, the sailors need to eat lemons. Great.
Ah, yes.
This is accurate. However, he thought that they needed to eat lemons because the lemon juice would clear out their pores. And the pore blockage was what was giving everyone scurvy.
Okay, no.
Right. He was so close, yet so, so very far away.
But the lemons were helping.
Yeah, because of the vitamin C. But they didn't know what vitamins were.
Oh, got it.
It was all about the humors and the bile for them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But is it lemons or limes that helps with scurvy?
Both.
Both. So mm-hmm. it's any vitamin C.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. So were pickles part of that?
Yes. Oh, yes, wow. They were.
They cured scurvy? That's good. That's why I've never had it.
Right, exactly. And you never will. So
come here, sweetie.
All the Roman emperors were big on having their troops eat pickles. Because
why?
Much like Cleopatra
Rome,
said,
so homoerotic at all times. God, Rome.
For sure.
They're like generals are just like, hey, y'all should probably eat all these pickles.
And let me watch.
And let me watch.
Yes. Absolutely.
Rome, you dirty dog.
They told the troops it was because it would make them strong.
But I bet they did. I bet they did. God damn it, Rome.
They were the grossest.
Oh, you had it right, Rome. No, they were like, yeah, I think we should all be gay. Somehow we lost, like, Rome and Greece were like, we should all be gay. And yeah. Then somehow we lost that.
Yeah, I mean, that's because this stuff is a pendulum. It's not a straight line. And
I know.
Thing is,
garbage.
Gay culture as mainstream culture was starting to get popular in the United States again pre-World War II.
And then they were just like, forget it?
Yeah, because all the men, the straight men were really threatened by the fact that women took over their
manufacturing. Oh, straight men were threatened? That's interesting.
I know,
when has
imagine?
That ever happened? Wow, so weird.
Thing. Yes, yes.
So out of character.
So we were in a place where like in 1930s guidebooks to New York, Greenwich Village was in there and people were like, go see the drag shows in Greenwich Village. It was like mainstream entertainment. But then the war happened and everyone flipped out.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, you know, we had pickles. Then that was for the people. Then we lost them to rich people.
Mm-hmm.
We had gay stuff.
Yeah.
Then we lost it.
I know. It used to be for the people.
Time is not kind.
No, but it'll come back.
It'll come back around.
Yeah.
Just you wait for this year's Pride and me selling pickles at Pride. What if I did that? You know how they dye them with Kool-Aid?
Yes.
So what if I just did rainbow pickles and I sold them at Pride?
And your branding could be Pride Pickles?
Pride Pickles. And the profits went to the LGBT Center.
That's a really nice idea.
I know, but I would have to get so good at pickling by June.
I bet you could. And the main thing is with like street fair pickles, the main thing is they're cold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you just put them in like icy water and mm-hmm. serve them. And that comes back to the electrolyte thing. Lots of times we're attracted to foods for health reasons and we don't know why.
Oh,
but because of the salt in the brine.
Because everyone's outside
exactly.
and they're marching.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's why pickles were such a popular like street cart food.
Because everyone was sweating.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
That's why they sold them at the racetrack.
Exactly. So, okay. The British Navy was trying to kill their sailors essentially without even knowing it. So on long journeys, like okay. the adventuring boats, like Christopher Columbus and all his evil cohort, if you do fermentation type of pickling,
mm-hmm.
then you're getting the health benefits of fermentation. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're stocking yourself up with probiotics, so it's harder for you to get sick.
Oh, got it.
Yes.
Okay.
But for like cucumber pickles, mm-hmm. we're talking about just having fruits and vegetables on the ship with you so that you're eating produce the entire time. And that's
yeah.
why you want to have pickled things on board.
Got it. Did they pickle things other than cucumbers?
Well, it took them way too long. I mean, yes, like Spanish boats, they did.
Okay,
because
yeah.
their like culture has more of like a pickling culture.
Right.
And France, basically like the more Mediterranean you get, the better the food is. We're generalizing, but kind of telling the truth.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
But the British Navy kept like, it's the weirdest thing. They kept like forgetting the pickling was good. And they do stuff.
Oh, English people were bad at food. I'm so shocked.
They would do stuff like they would like increase the whiskey rations.
Hmm?
They'd be like, I know exactly what were they thinking, but they'd be like, I bet what it is that they don't have enough alcohol. Alcohol is what clears all the germs in your body.
Got it. It's funny. I was just reading this thing about how drunk everyone from history was.
Right.
Like how there was someone that found the bar tab for the pregame for the Constitution, for all the people signing the Constitution.
Yeah.
They pregamed it, all of them. So 55 people went to this bar to pregame signing the Constitution.
Uh-huh.
And the bar tab was like, it was like 150 bottles of wine, like 40 beers. Like it was like more alcohol than a 55 people should be able to consume. And then right after that, they were like, to the Constitution, what's in it?
So if anything in it doesn't make sense.
Wasted. There was something where it was like, also the general, like I think Ulysses Grant, who's the one that was on our side, on the anti-slavery side?
I think it was Grant.
Grant?
Yeah.
So it was like a thing where there was like a letter from Abraham Lincoln being like, Ulysses S. Grant, like we think he's actually probably better as a general because he drinks all day. Like that was like in a letter.
Oh my God.
Like everyone from history was plastered.
Yeah. Drinking water wasn't really a thing.
No, then they were so drunk. And so, like, we just think of the, you know, we're like, oh, the British Army. Like, of course, like, they're so noble or whatever. They're plastered on whiskey probably the entire time.
Yeah, they were not noble. They were just drunk as fuck. And I feel like any battles that they won, it was purely by accident or
because the other side was drunker.
Right, exactly. Or, you know, you become fearless when you're drunk.
Right, exactly. You get, like, drunk strength. Yeah. And so he's just like, he's a really good general because he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'll stab you right now. I'm fucking plastered. But the pregame to the Constitution is the funniest thing.
That is amazing. Yeah. I've never heard that before, and it's my favorite story now.
Oh, yeah.
I love it so much. During the 1800s, there were so many inventions that helped more people pickle and can easier.
Oh, like what?
So Napoleon Bonaparte, he basically loved like sardines and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So he came up with a 12,000 franc prize for the person who could figure out a way to preserve food for troops while they were on their campaigns.
Okay.
And this guy named Nicolas Appert.
Great.
He was a candy maker.
Amazing.
And so he wanted that. It was the equivalent of $250,000. So he's like, yeah, let me try and figure this out. So he figured out that if you put food in a bottle, they were dealing with glass at this point, mm-hmm. you take all the air out of the bottle, you seal it, and then you boil it. Voila, preserved.
There's nothing in the, it's just a food in a jar,
mm-hmm.
closed, boil.
Right.
Nothing, no water or anything in the jar.
You want some kind of liquid in there.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
But water, boring. Brine.
Throw some herbs in there.
Right. Yeah. Brine, actually not boring.
Yes.
And then got it.
He would seal it with a cork and some wax, and he figured out, I mean, this is like.
What made him think of that?
I think because he was making candy, so he was dealing with boiling and then cutting and things at different temperatures.
Yeah.
I think that that's why it was. A couple years after that, a guy in Scotland figured out that you could make paraffin and then you could use it to seal.
Oh.
Seal up jars or what yeah. have you. A couple years after that, the mason jar was invented.
Oh my God. Yeah. So the mason jar and pickling truly do have... like a beautiful relationship.
Yes, yeah. And you know, I had never thought about this, but the invention was heavier glass.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can boil it.
So you can boil it.
Yeah, and it won't explode on you.
Oh.
And then after that, metal can lids. So it became easier.
Were invented?
Yes. Yeah. Like just the lid part of it.
Interesting.
Seal it up quickly.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is... Everything makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's funny that now we associate pickles with mason jars.
Yeah, absolutely. It does absolutely go all hand in hand. Did you watch Mad Men?
Yeah.
TV? There's a scene in one of the episodes where they talk about Heinz, the food company.
Yeah.
And they are talking about how that campaign is vinegars, sauces, and beans.
Mm-hmm.
Because pickles used to just be like a thing that Heinz had.
Oh, interesting.
They were like, but we don't care. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to advertise it. It doesn't matter. People either buy them or they don't. But then Vlasic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Made a stork their mascot.
I know all about the stork. The Vlasic stork. Oh, I know all about it.
I can't believe it had to be explained to me in writing that they made a stork their mascot because of pregnant women liking pickles.
Yes, yeah.
So this is a thing that everybody but me knew.
I didn't know if they knew they did that on purpose.
Apparently
I just assumed
did.
That's smart. That's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then that, I mean, the stereotype of pickles is that you're pregnant.
Right.
Which is a joke. I mean, I date women and the joke is like that my mom always makes is I'm like eating pickles and she's like, oh, are you pregnant? And I'm like, I don't know. Is there a second Jesus coming? Like, I have no, you know what I mean? Like, don't make that joke, mom. But that's like, yeah, like the stereotype, I guess, because pregnant women want the electrolytes. No.
Yes, I think so. Because, you know, there are sometimes cases of women like licking salt licks that are meant mm-hmm, for goats mm-hmm. when they're pregnant. And I do think it's just that need for nutrients mm-hmm. all the time. And pickles really satiate that.
They do. That's why I feel like when I eat one, it's like a meal. Like I'm like, oh, so satisfied.
Yeah.
So then Vlasic had this
and they started
stork,
advertising
and everyone loved it.
Yeah. And so Heinz was like, ah, shit, now mm-hmm. we gotta start advertising. Mm-hmm. So they made their pickles more popular. And with marketing in the last century, it's the thing where like there's a reaction to the demand
mm-hmm.
and because they want to make money, the companies overreact and start pushing a product real hard, mm. and then the demand grows because they're seeing it more.
Right, yes.
And it just feeds upon itself. Mm-hmm.
So now it's like a whole thing. Now yes. there's like those two companies, and then there's like the, you know, the special ones you can get with like different flavoring. Mm-hmm. And do you want them to be soft? Do you want them to be hard? Do you want them to be sliced? Do you want them to not be sliced? It's like that aisle. I'm quite familiar with that aisle in the Gelson's.
So I take it you don't do bread and butter pickles.
I don't mind it. Mm-hmm. They're very sweet.
Mm, yes, that's the thing.
I'm okay. Like if it's like the little ones that they put them on sandwiches or something, mm-hmm. like if it's on like a burger or veggie burger or like a sandwich or something, I'm not against it. Mm-hmm. I almost don't think, oh man, I'm about to get in controversy. I don't think of them as pickles. I'll eat them. I like them.
But I can see why you would think that, because they are such a sweeter flavor. It has so much less of that tangy vinegariness that you one associates with pickles.
I'm happy to put it on. I mean, I like relish. Like, I'm happy to put relish mm-hmm. on stuff, but relish is also very sweet.
Yeah.
So I'm not against pickles in any form. I just, they're not what I'm talking about when right. I'm like, my favorite food is pickles.
Right. Yeah. And if anyone was wondering, the term bread and butter pickles has nothing to do with what's in them or how they're made or what they taste like or anything.
Just why are they called that?
The apocryphal story is that these women sisters were making them, and they were trading them to a general store, mm-hmm. And they would get bread and butter in return. I hate stories like that. I don't believe that anything is like that.
Yeah,
simple.
It can't be that simple.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I get the need for them. I understand why people made them, and I understand why relish is sweet. Mm-hmm. And I do like, you know, if I'm getting like a turkey dog at the Grove, as one is wont to do. You ever got a turkey dog at the Grove? Anyway, if you get a turkey dog at the Grove, I'll usually get like a sweet relish on it. Mm-hmm. I'm not against it. I just like, if I'm like, oh, I could really use a pickle right now, that's like not what I'm thinking of.
Absolutely. So I've never craved pickles.
Really?
Cucumber pickles. Yeah. The European style pickle.
Yeah.
Has never been like an active part of my life.
Oh, that's so funny.
However, Japanese and Vietnamese pickles are like my favorite things in the world.
Yeah.
And those, again, are definitely not fermented. I don't. And usually to make them, you also add like an oil and sugar to them. Mm-hmm. So essentially, I like the version of pickle that no one would ever say is healthy.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and the Japanese ones are cucumbers, but like the Vietnamese ones on banh mi.
What are they?
Carrots and daikon.
Oh, carrots,
usually.
Yes. Okay, I like that. Yeah, if you put that on a sandwich, I'm very for that.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like a good daikon or carrot, you know, a dish. Even when they make it as like a little salad on the side, not against that.
I love it.
Yeah.
So much.
Some people, that's what I was saying, where some people are just like, gross.
I can't imagine not being able to deal with even that kind of pickle. Can you imagine when they're presented with a jar of Lassic pickles? It must explode their brains.
Some people find it very disgusting. They just don't like. I mean, I also love black olives. Like, I love the savoriness of like black olives. And my girlfriend is like, black olives are literally the devil. I can't believe anyone would ever look at one. Thinking of smelling one makes me want to puke. And I'm like, I could eat a whole jar.
Yeah. I cannot abide pickles. I cannot abide olives.
Why do people hate olives?
Every time you're the first person who's come in with an understanding of the fact that some people hate olives. When I say it, people are like, how do you hate olives?
And no, but people hate them. Like in my...
Yes.
I've dated multiple people who are like, olives are literally demons.
Yes.
And then I am like, that's insane. That's my fate. Like, I could eat that. If you gave me a plate that was like, olives and pickles and like charcuterie and like that was like the thing. Done. Yeah. Happy.
Yeah. And see, I would take the olives off.
Well, I don't understand. Everything. But why?
I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. It's
They're
just
so
the thing
good.
That
They're just little morsels. You just pop them.
No, I can't. I can't do it.
I'm not sure. Also, like when we were kids, we would eat black olives a lot. And me and my sister... my sister was a very picky eater. And so my parents would play this game where we would put the olives on our fingers.
Yeah.
And then like we would be like, ooh, we got our nails done or whatever. And so to get her to eat, it would be like eating them off our fingers would be like the game. So I think I've just like, and I wasn't a picky eater, but she was. And so I had to play along with all that stuff too. But right. I feel like that was like the thing where now it's just like, oh yeah, we love olives, you know?
See, you can do that same trick, but with raspberries, and that'll actually taste good.
Ah, raspberries are boring. They're not boring, but they're boring, you know?
Try pickling them, then maybe you'd get into them.
I'm going to Google pickled raspberries. Okay. Do people do it?
I'll Google it right now.
I bet they do. Let's see. This is hard show to do before you've had lunch.
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Pickled raspberries.
All right. Okay.
There
I'm listening.
There are 8 million results.
Okay. you could put pickled anything now is what I believe.
Yeah. I think, oh my God, rosé and raspberry pickled beets. That person needs to calm down.
For your night of watching The Bachelor.
Yes, there you go. So these pickled raspberries, this recipe, the experimental Epicurean does hers in red wine vinegar with cinnamon and anise. And then she pairs it with vanilla ice cream.
I love it.
That sounds really good. It really does.
Yeah, I actually really like that.
Yeah. So you can make it.
Has anyone ever pickled olives? Isn't that what olives are?
Yes. I mean, we don't eat the fresh version. Yeah. So yes. So that's all your favorite tastes in one bite is an olive.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, your dog is next to me. So cute.
She's the cutest.
Does everyone get distracted by her?
Yeah. I mean, look at her. She puts her paw up in the air to be like, excuse me, pet me.
You're a literal angel.
She's like, I know, but pet me.
Yeah. Every dog I meet, I'm like, oh, are you an angel who's never done anything wrong in the history of time and space and I'll die for you right now? Okay.
Like, well, I understand that with Matilda, certainly.
Yeah. You're so cute. It's funny that something can be your favorite food and you don't know anything about it.
Yeah, because it's just a thing for you to enjoy. Like, it doesn't have to be an academic. I mean, of course, make it academic and ruin it, but it doesn't have to be.
It's not ruined at all. I mean, I also think, like, you know, it helps for me to be like, oh, it's such a Jewish food, but, like, it's not only a Jewish food.
Right.
So it's helpful to know, like, that there were other things involved, namely Indonesia.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like almost every culture on the planet pickles in some manner.
So I'm worldly is what I'm taking away from this.
Yes. So cultured. Exactly.
So cultured.
Yes.
Definitely doesn't have scurvy.
And never will. So people can buy your book anywhere that they would buy books, right?
Yeah. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound. And then I actually did the audiobook. So you can get the audiobook on Audible or Simon & Schuster Audio. And I read it. So get that one because it took 4 days. And it was so long. And I read the whole book out loud.
Aw, yes. So everybody go find Bad With Money. Follow Gabby on social media.
Yeah, at Gabby Dunn on Twitter, at Gabby Road on Instagram, because I don't understand branding. yeah, and thank you for having me. This was so fun. I'm going to go eat lunch and be so happy right now.
Yay, I love that. Thank you. Just hold on.